the two moves while the Guardians sent Shane Bieber, who was coming back from rehab. He ends up going to Toronto for Cal Stevens. And then they also sent reliever Paul Sewald to Detroit for future consideration. So that is the two moves that the Guardians have made so far today. They have the day off. Let's get more information from a man in the know, fresh off a trip to Cooperstown. He's a super friend of the show from MLB.com. You know him and love him as Anthony Castrovince, and he's on the fan hotline right now. Anthony, my friend, how are you?
I'm great. It's a great day to be a Guardians fan, isn't it?
I don't know. Hell. Is it? You tell me. I think if they trade Stephen Kwan, the fans are not going to be happy.
Yeah. No, I don't blame them one bit. It's just been a very heavy season, right? So everything's just felt heavy this year.
Yeah.
They've struggled to really piece things together in the win column. It's amazing they're 500 in spite of the way a lot of things have gone. But yeah, they just haven't had that edge to them. And then, you know, you kind of get a gambling scandal blows up in your face, and next thing you know, here you are at the trade deadline where I don't know if what we've seen is the extent of things or if there's still another big one coming. I think we all know, like you just said, I mean, how that would be perceived by the fan base, that would be pretty rough, but so has this whole week has been rough for them.
Sure. Anthony, if you have to run, we understand, trade deadline coming up in less than 5 hours. With that said, Mason Miller, closer, gets traded from the Athletics to the Padres. Johan Duran, closer, goes from the Twins to the Phillies. And Emmanuel Clase is sitting at home right now and can't play until August 31st. You think Clase would have been one of those guys?
I really do. I think they've kind of wavered back and forth, in recent weeks. And just with the light schedule in the second half, you wondered how they respond to that. But just generally speaking, I think it was an environment where there's so many teams hungry for help in that area. And I just think it was a chance for them to be opportunistic. But obviously that goes out the window now.
All right, let's get into the Guardians. At Bieber to Toronto. Your thoughts on that as the Guardians front office deals with their old friends in Toronto?
Yeah, it's kind of amusing how, they extend Andrés Giménez, Miles Straw. They do this deal with Bieber, which at the time people were justifiably excited about, to bring him back in the fold when that didn't seem possible prior to his injury. But and all those guys end up shipped off to Canada. So
Guardians North, right? Isn't that?
Guardians North.
That's what the T-shirt could say.
Obviously, a great working relationship between those two front offices, and the Blue Jays are in a position where they can. It's a calculated gamble on Bieber, where you're going to owe him about, I think it's around $6 or $7 million for the remainder of this year if you factor in the buyout for next year. But you've got that player option for $16 million, which really kind of hung over the Guardians' head. So it made sense to just move that money first and foremost. He hasn't obviously thrown a pitch for them this year, but I like it for the Blue Jays. I love Shane Bieber, great guy, hard worker, and I really root for good things for him in his return from surgery here. It's obviously been a painstaking process, and he's evidenced that, it's not always as smooth as you want or think it might be, but if he can deliver them some good innings down the stretch, I really like that a lot on a team that has definitely overshot expectations in a big way this year.
Anthony, if he's going to pick up that option, don't you think they would have kept him?
I don't know. I mean, this is what hangs in the air with the Luis Ortiz / Emmanuel Clase situation, unfortunate as it is. It really changes your construction for next year, where those guys were obviously, if you were going to keep Clase past the trade deadline, and again, who knows? To lose two huge building blocks on your pitching staff like that, affordable pieces at that, really changes the way you construct your club for next year. And $16 million for Shane Bieber, who, again, we don't know what the stuff is going to be. We don't know what the success is going to be. I think it made all the sense in the world for them to move him now and to not have, that financial reality kind of hanging in the air on a team that doesn't have a lot of financial resources at its disposal, for a front office that doesn't have a lot of financial resources at its disposal. Do you want to have the possibility of committing $16 million to Shane Bieber you know, with all that missed time. Again, I love the guy, and I think he'll come out, you know, on the on a good side of this, but you can't, it's not my money to play with. And so I just think that's a big commitment, you know, with so much uncertainty now for 2026, given what has just happened.
Interesting. Why would you trade Stephen Kwan? Is it because you're hoping to get overwhelmed with an offer since there are not a ton of bats out there available?
Right.
Are you afraid of what might be coming down the road in free agency with him? Well, the idea of why you trade one of two or three guys who can actually hit for you is the puzzling aspect here.
Right, and it goes back to what I just said. I mean, I think that what happened with, you know, completely having your 2026 plans dramatically altered, then you start to go down the road of, okay, what is this? Are we going to go super young and try to build things up again? That's a real possibility. I mean, the other possibility is just you figure something out with Stephen Kwan. I mean, they certainly had extension talks in the past, and maybe here, sometimes deadlines spur action in that regard as well. You know, so maybe you throw a bunch of money at Stephen Kwan and get him to stick around. I don't know, but if that's not going to happen, and they have a better sense of that than I do, as far as, you know, where those conversations, you know, what the holdup is, how far apart they are, all that, you know, maybe you start to get realistic about your future and how things look for 2026, 2027, which is the years you have control of Stephen Kwan, and looking at a trade market that is super light on bats. I mean, super, super, super light. So, if you can get a haul that includes, you know, a couple top 100 prospects, a higher end, you know, within that top 100, you know, within that, I mean, I think you got to think long and hard about that, just given what has just transpired in the past, you know, in the past few weeks where again, I mean, crucial pieces of, you know, crucial building blocks of your pitching staff have just been taken away from you. And so, you know, how deep that goes, I don't know, because this is the front office that's very reluctant to do a rebuild. They don't want to turn off the fan base, you know, at large. And look where it's gotten them. You know, they've been very smart, generally speaking, about moving guys at the right time. You know, they've certainly traded away a lot of talent, but they've been pretty diligent about, you know, doing it at the right time, not rushing the process, sticking to their demands with other teams. And that's not going to change, in light of what's happened this week. I mean, they have a high price on Stephen Kwan. I'm sure they'll maintain that price. And if they don't get it, they won't move him. But if they do move him, it will be because the market just presented an opportunity that was too good to pass up. And B, you have to be honest with yourself about what does 2026 look like? You know, and it could look a lot younger than they had envisioned earlier.
Mm. Anthony Castrovince, MLB.com, joining us on the fan hotline. I want to go back for 1 second because Jeff and I talked about this as far as Bieber was concerned. How do you think that we all knew Bieber was going to be out for a good portion of this season, right? How did he end up getting the option on the second year?
Well, oftentimes that is part of those deals where it just is, you know, for the player's benefit, you know, where there's just so much unknown in the air. And Shane Bieber, let's face it, Shane Bieber had bad timing when it comes to the injury. You know, he missed out on a very lucrative opportunity. And there were probably more lucrative opportunities for him for the 1 year, for 2025. Mm-hmm. But he did value, you know, the training staff here, the continuity that comes with that. And then, yeah, you put it in his hands, you know, where if things do go off the rails, if he can't come back from this thing, or if he comes back a very much lesser version of himself, at least he had that financial security for that second year. So yeah, it was kind of like, I don't know how to phrase this. It's not like he's doing them a favor, re-signing with them. I mean, both sides took on risk with that deal, but he did probably go below market to come back to Cleveland because of the continuity. And they do him the solid with the player
the
option.
But, that makes
and I don't,
sense.
And I don't even know what it's still as of, you know, here we are July 31st. There's not a ton of season left, but there's still enough season left where who knows what happens with that player option. You know, if he comes back strong and he pitches now for a contender and pitches well and pitches in the postseason well, I mean, boom, you know, so much for the player option. You can probably do a lot better. So it'll be fascinating to see him in the next couple months, and I'll be rooting for him hard.
Reliever Paul Sewall goes to Detroit for a player to be named later or money, right?
Yeah.
I'm not comfortable with trading with Detroit. Yeah, you got to help me on this one. Or unless they think that Seawald, it doesn't make a difference.
Yeah, it's Paul Seawald in a not good year, veteran guy, gets to go pitch for a contender. You know, they add some veteran presence to their bullpen. No big deal. You know, we're kind of getting away from that mindset anyway, of trading with the division. I think it's a little different for like if you were to trade Stephen Kwan to the Tigers, you know, and then face him, you know, whatever it is, 15 times a year for the
next
couple
of years.
It's
not 17 anymore, thank goodness.
I know, I'm always forgetting the math now, but you know, that's probably different, but still, generally speaking, I mean, everybody's competing with everyone in the league now with three wild card spots. I mean, so if you're going to go down that road, you know, it's dangerous to trade with anybody in your league.
In the AL,
so, yeah. So you see more of those intra-division deals. You don't see the reluctance to do that the way you once did. And yeah, Paul Seawald for the next couple months where, you know, they're not really competing with the Tigers for the division at this point. And again, that's a good dude. I hope he, you know, I hope he puts it together for them in the last couple months here.
Anthony Castrovince joining us, MLB.com. Are you hearing anything about the situations with Emmanuel Clase and Luis Ortiz? And is there any way they're on the field this year?
Well, I'll just say that, you know, if it gets to this point, it's not good, generally speaking, like to remove them from the field. Obviously, you know, there's evidence that they're investigating. And boy, that's the cardinal sin of baseball is to get involved with gambling. And I know there's been a lot of criticism of, you know, the partnerships that the league has with betting partners and whatnot. But, you know, the Supreme Court made a decision in 2018 that really changed the whole landscape of sports gambling with or without the league's participation. You're going to have these, you know, apps aplenty and micro bets, and baseball more than any other sport lends itself to those micro bets. You know,
sure
you can
does.
Bet on every pitch if you want. So it's pretty ugly, and the players are very well educated on, you know, what to do, what not to do. And, you know, it's unfortunate that it got to this point with these guys where, you know, to even be removed from the field for the investigation is obviously not a good look.
Do you think the leagues, because there's legislation in Jersey now, do you think the leagues could put pressure on their partners at the gaming firms, although they're not partners with everybody, but to get rid of the micro bets?
I don't know, because like you just said, in some sense, the cat's out of the bag. I mean, in some sense, the gambling companies have seen the opportunity that exists here, the marketplace that exists, you know, for this. I was at a game a few weeks ago, and someone just stood up cheering at a very random spot. And I was like, what? Did I miss something? And I realized, oh, it's probably some kind of silly bet that I don't understand. you know, it's just out there. And so, yeah, like you said, I mean, they could maybe lean on their partners. I don't know, but it doesn't mean there's some other company out there that'll take that bet on, you know. But I would also say that, look, the fact that we know about this stuff is a positive in light of, you know, it's an awful situation, but everything is on the books now. I mean, let's not kid ourselves into thinking that, maybe not micro bets, but let's not kid ourselves into thinking that there wasn't, you know, gambling on sports and baseball in particular going on prior to the 2018 Supreme Court ruling. Of course it was, you know, off the books. And, you know, having this stuff on the books, having this stuff, you know, with a paper trail, for lack of a better term, even though it's not paper, it's an app, but is how these guys got caught. Is how these situations raised red flags where, hey, that's a lot of bets on a first pitch of a, you know, of a, whatever inning it happened to be, you know, that caught people's eyes. And
those bets are all in Ohio, New York, and New Jersey.
Yeah. So the system worked in that regard. So, I mean, that's a good thing that comes out of this, is at least we know that system is working.
Anthony, what value might Carlos Santana have to some team in the next 4 hours and 43 minutes?
I don't know. I think the value is just, you know, I don't know. It's not high. It's just more about, from the Guardians' perspective, it's more about freeing up at bats for others at this point. That's just kind of where we're at. It is a market light on bats, and people, you know, certain teams, certain clubhouses value veteran presence more than others. But the cold, hard analytical perspective, no, not a high amount of trade value there.
All right. So if they trade Kwan, is that thrown in the towel in the season? Is that, you got to go back to your clubhouse tomorrow and say, all right, well, let's just get through this. I mean, just, they're a young group. that and as Quan said, Quan said he wanted to play here, right? You know, and so it's like, I guess if Quan's gone, it's you're just saying, all right, we're looking at next year.
You might be saying you're looking at 2027, to be honest with you.
That's true too.
Because they're pretty light offensively, and like you said, I mean that's one of their best players. I think the other possibility here, just like I alluded to earlier, I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility that you use this opportunity for things to come to a head and say, all right, if this is where you want to be, and you know, can we work out a deal here? It's in season, so that's unusual, but it's not unprecedented. But yeah, is it throwing it? If you trade Stephen Kwan, are you throwing it solid for this year? Yeah, and probably, you know, I would think next year too, unless I'm missing something where they have a lot more coming than I realize, or, you know, a lot more spending coming than I realize. But if that was the case, then you wouldn't be trading Stephen Kwan in the first place.
Anthony, thank you. We appreciate you. I know you got a busy day today, and just thank you so much for joining us and giving us the lowdown. And we'll talk to you soon, my friend.
Thanks, Anthony.
Absolutely, guys.